There he is. Hey.
John, just
sneak this. Oh my goodness. Crazy. Okay, so my computer isn't done yet. Hopefully it'll be ready next week, but here I am. And I apologize for last week, but I heard that you guys had an amazing gathering together. Yeah. And to be able to drop in that way. So it's like always, it always works out, right? Always seems to work out. And it's been interesting because I've had some challenges, and I can't really call them challenges, some things that would make me pause and kind of gather into a different perspective as to what was happening. And really, I find that these things, whenever that happens, it's always happening because there's more of me than I'm getting back, where I've taken myself away from something, or that something was opening for me, but I felt like I had to direct it in a certain way, or I had to show up in a certain way. And there was something else evolving. There's something else that's moving through. There's something in my consciousness that's awaking, but my egoic part of it wants it to hang on into what I thought it was becoming. And that thing is still becoming, but it's becoming in a different way, where I feel more met than I did before. But I thought I was being met before because it felt comfortable. But it provided an opening, an invitation, an awareness that if I surrendered more into how I'm continuing to evolve, that those things that are still for me continue showing up for me in their evolved expression as well, or in their imitation of how it's already evolved, but inviting me up to that level of congruency also. And we're playing with each other in these different realms. We're playing each other in this awakening of consciousness for one another. And so anywhere where we're pushing people away or saying no to things or saying not now, or we're attached to a particular outcome or to the way that we think it has to unfold that would feel good for us, where is it that we put so much power on the ego, on the mind, on the blueprint, that we have forgotten our heart in the process? How much have we, over the last year, or even the last several months, and I include myself in this, have gone back up into aligning with the mind? And I believe it was very necessary for a lot of us, aligning back into mind, even getting into critical mind as the foundation from shifting again the chaos that I speak a lot about, and bring it into this place of congruence and calibration. But where have we left the heart process out of this? Or where is it necessary for us to do that? Not in judgment that we left the heart out, or where was it necessary that we step away somewhat from the heart, or not bring in its majesty as much as we were holding it before? And now perhaps it's wonderful to look in and integrate, what do I really want? What does my heart want? What does my heart want in this situation? If I were to just be reckless with my feelings, with my sensitivity, and just throw it all out there, put all the chips in one place because my heart was directing it that way, where would that be? And why? And why? It seems like a huge gamble, but I think it's a great barometer for where this thing alone can't lead us. Because in this, there's still a reaching, there's still a formulating, there's still a blueprinting out of an intelligence. And it's wonderful, but it's this heart that leads moment by moment. The mind projects, the heart just beats and emanates and beats and emanates. The heart can feel when it's being met and when it's not. And when it's not, the mind kicks into safety, control, manipulation, defense, getting our body to break down, to get tired, projecting things onto others, creating conditions and how the heart can feel, how the mind thinks the heart can feel safe. And your heart's pulsing over here, beating, going, I'm safe. Look at me. I'm beating a heartbeat at a time. I just beat again. Look, I just beat. Look, I beat again. I beat again. I beat again. I'm not safe. I'm not going anywhere until it's time for me to go in this physical heart. But the emotional heart, the emotional intelligence that emanates from this knowing energy that we all radiate. Welcome back home. Welcome back home and remember your why. Yeah, and in that I can even feel the energy just here, just landing and softening and getting quieter. Can y'all feel some of that? So like, take a deep breath into that. Oh yeah, the heart. And we remember the heart, it's funny. It's like our body relaxes also. It's like, oh yeah. Oh, my heart needed that. How many of y'all can acknowledge that statement? Oh my God, my heart needed that at the moment. And notice those throughout your day or throughout your week. Yeah. My heart needed that pause. My heart needed that laugh. My heart needed that cry. I was looking for a movie to cry to all weekend long. Didn't quite find one. I rewatched The Color Purple last night, and that kind of made me well up a little bit. I hadn't seen it in 20 years. It was sweet. It was a sweet movie. Wonderful, but I didn't get quite to that. The Notebook, yeah, that's a good one also. But I've seen that one so many times already that I'm not going to cry. I already know what's happening. If you guys have any other suggestions, I'll take it. Let's see. Beth Midler's movie, what is it? The one where her friend dies of cancer?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. I can't think of the name of that one. There's a couple of other ones. But I
think it's called Rose.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the Rose.
Is it the Rose?
Yeah.
Maybe, okay. Yeah, where her friend's dying of cancer at the end and blah, blah, blah. Okay, it probably is that. But if you guys have a modern movie to watch, and modern, I mean like in the last 10 years, that's that evocative, let me know. And it'd be good homework assignments perhaps for all of us. Because what's also happening, there's huge collective energies running through the field, and holy smokes, it is, I don't know what y'all's experience has been, but I personally, and with a lot of people, have felt a lot of emotions peaking, a lot of wobble energy as things are happening around the world, but it feels like it's happening to me personally. So even my level of how empathic I am and how sensitive I am, and the vulnerability of that, and the judgment of that has been coming up really strongly. And I see it as a way on how we're re-identifying with the core of who we are and taking a stand in it. So it's one thing to feel the collective energies, to feel the pull of the Schumann resonance and what's coming in from the radiation that's affecting our bodies, affecting our emotions, affecting our reactions in the field. But I also see it as a point of calibration of what we're being in integrity with within ourselves. So now it's not we're being too sensitive or we're empathic. It's like, what's the sensitivity and this empathy leading me towards? It's calibrating me towards a truth that lives within me. And how is it functioning either from a wounded place? Where is it mirroring back the way that I grew up, the way that I was raised, how I was influenced by my upbringing to react to certain situations? And where is it influencing a truth of where I know my heart is wanting to build relationship and community and opportunities from this place that I live in? And so we're getting like these gut checks, heart checks, brain checks coming in, discerning where am I being in this based on my past? And how am I choosing to create with this awareness in my now moment, which is going to be the foundation of how I'm creating my future? And so, am I reacting out of a sensitivity that's defending a position that I had? That I had to defend that I was empathic or sensitive? That made me wrong for feeling something that was in the field, even though I didn't know how to explain it? Or am I stopping and even in the field of judgment or receiving like, this may be too much for others, or this is too woo-woo, or this is coming up for no reason. I have no really logical way of explaining it, but still trusting its flow. And I don't have to explain it to everybody. This is really for me. I feel something moving forward and I don't have to know what it is. But I can also start to articulate what it is without the fear or the worry that it won't be received. Knowing that as I speak that expression of my truth in the moment, as that intelligence comes through, that it'll start formulating an environment that can nurture that intelligence rather than us trying to fit that intelligence into a box that doesn't serve us anymore. Well, you're being too sensitive. I didn't really yell at you. I kind of raised my voice, but no, it didn't feel congruent. That's not the way to have this conversation. That's not the way that I am going to continue in a reciprocal relationship with someone judging or raising their voice or reacting out of anger or their own defense, because it doesn't feel good to me anymore. Because I know that that's not an honoring energy for me right now. And so do I respond back in the way that they're responding to me? Or do I pause and ask for what I really want and articulate that? And so as an example, I'm trying to think of a good example that will flow for you guys. You can look at it as someone in a marriage, and you can say the husband's thinking that the wife is being oversensitive and over feminine, if you will, about it, and sharing a concern or feeling something that isn't right, and then there's like a conversation he doesn't want to have because he thinks it's settled. But we've already talked about it. It's obvious. It makes sense. Why do we have to keep talking about it? Why can't you just let it go? But still, as the other partner in this, it's, but there's something that's not being communicated. There's something that feels that isn't moving. And if we stop right here, that's just going to build this energy that's going to keep contributing to the detriment of relating to one another in an open and honest communication. And not just open and honest, but in a communication that is really hoping to build something rather than just cope. So the things that are happening, you know, the bombing that's happening in Israel, where's that communication happening? What is it that's wanted? Where's manipulation coming in? Where is it that compassionate conversations can occur when there's such division? And then who shows up for that? And from a political level, it would seem like those conversations are impossible. That it's been going on for so long, that the lines are drawn in the sand, that there's so much pull and push for power, for being right, that there's no way to bridge what the people really want, what the inner child really wants, which is peace, which is the freedom to be in your own beliefs without someone having to push their agenda onto you. And the crazy part about these beliefs, if you look at those political and religious situations, is that they're all fractals of the same thing. So Israel's pushing themselves on the Palestinians. Palestinians are pushing themselves onto the Israelis, the Jewish people. But really, isn't that what religion is doing to their own factions anyway? Isn't that what their own religion is pushing onto the individual? Well, if you're not this way, you're wrong. If you don't do it this way, you're condemned. If you don't do it this way, we're going to build walls and keep you out and segregate you. So it's all part of the same pattern repeating itself. But because they found someone else to play it out within a competing faction with separation, they don't have to look at their own internal egoic traps, control, manipulations. If they didn't have an enemy outside in which to be with, in which to war with, then they might have to look at themselves. And sometimes the greatest obstacle to our own personal development is that we don't want to look at ourselves. We'd rather look at what's wrong in the world, what's wrong in relationship, what's wrong in our health, what's wrong in these other things, because if everything else is right there and it's in alignment, then we have to look at ourselves. And sometimes the biggest fear or the biggest obstacle of moving forward is precisely that. We'll create circumstances outside of ourselves so that we don't have to look at our own stuff. So we can point, it's this other thing. See, if my husband were this, everything would be okay. Let me go to the therapist, or let's go to couples therapy so that I can point to my wife so that she can know what's wrong with her. And if the therapist fixed her, then everything can be okay in relationship. Right? If she can only see the crap that she's pulling, we'd be fine. But then when they look at us, if any of y'all have ever been in couples therapy, I have. The therapist is too slow. She's asking the wrong questions. Oh my God, she's so linear. She went to school to make this pan out for 5 years because it's a financial model. I'm like, oh, I really should look at myself. And of course I'm getting triggered because some of the questions aren't being asked her because I want to control the circumstance. But that's me showing up in a very conditional way with an agenda of fixing something that took a long time to break, but wanting to fix it within a certain amount of sessions. How do you fix it? Well, point to the thing that's wrong. My wife. Not me. Fine. I'm open. Suggest something. Yes, as long as I'm comfortable with it. Yeah. And then the heart says, but damn, something's missing. And okay, so she made her wrong, made me right, and I have a satisfaction, but something still feels empty. And I don't know why we're not getting along and things keep coming up. It's like, at least the war stopped for a little bit, but then stopped for a long time. It comes back up. And so, okay, so the war has ended on this front, but now where am I keeping myself trapped and my energy trapped? It's like, oh, all of a sudden I've gained 15 pounds. I'm not happy. I'm not moving in the same way. My health's starting to be affected. My adrenals are shot. I'm going through depression, but at least I'm not fighting with my wife anymore. That's amazing there. The sex was good for the 3 months while we were waking up, but then that kind of got boring again. And so we go through these cycles and we make allowances and we make things good for just enough of a period of time that we can start feel comfortable again to relax our minds from being so chaotic. And then when things slow down and everything else seems to be okay again, the war starts again inside. It's like, I wasn't being true about that. And it's just the cycles that we go through. It's the cycles that we've been going through lifetimes, through history. And the energies are coming in to that calibration. Again, the critical mind, we've been in that energy, that flow of the critical mind and aligning, activating our heart in the process. But I'm suggesting that with the energies that have been coming up and some of the density of emotion that's coming in as we have to be, or where we're separated from ourselves or our truth, where we're acquiescing a balance within ourselves for the sake of fitting in somehow or making sense or making do because things aren't quite defined. And so we're trying to cope with the lack of definition to create a sense of purpose or balance or harmony or happiness. Because damn, we have to do something because it's felt so horrible for this last year or 2 years or 3 years. And we're being called out energetically to come back into our heart. It's like, oh, wait, hold on a second. Okay, so this family isn't getting along with this family member, and I've been acting as diplomat or trying to do something or holding a space or trying to be an example for something. And that's wonderful. But what has the heart really been an awareness of? Oh, if I were really to be honest, I would have an honest conversation about what's true instead of playing diplomats and making allowances for other people's stuff. Not speaking directly into what I see what's causing the war, but alluding around it. Hoping to hold on to just the moments of peace because I've been tired for so long. But if I can just have this for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, then I can finally relax and I'd be able to have that conversation that I really want to have, that I don't even really know that I want to have, but somehow I feel something different is wanting to emerge. And it's not that you need to take action on all of it all right now, but it is important that you start having the awareness of these things that are bubbling up, and that the time for the awarenesses of your truth, as we're landing more into the essences of our emotions and allowing our emotions and our physical response to those emotions to guide us in ways that we have never allowed. And that's a big word, never. And I say that from the perspective is that perhaps you've never taken leadership over your own lives and the lives of people around you in the way that you're being called to do that now. We've been really good at following. We've been really good at even being in group consciousness with making decisions. It's wonderful. And we're being asked to lead from this place of congruence, of balance, of love, of heart space, meeting the body space, meeting the etheric space, meeting the divine space, and owning the truth of our truth for the sake of ourselves. And trusting that that truth is serving a purpose as you express it out into field, because you are here for a reason. You're not a mistake. You're not some random act that happened to happen. And other people are more important than you or have a bigger voice or are contributing something that you don't. Well, I take that. They are contributing something that you don't. And you're contributing something that we don't. And it's time that we all recognize that within ourselves. And so this is a collective call for individual leadership for the sake of the individual, but for the sake of the collective. Does that make sense? So that alignment within ourselves, our call of purpose, of being in joy of our lives, of feeling like we're aligned to something within ourselves that's part of ourselves, but bigger than ourselves at the same time. It all starts right here. And these energies, the shuman, the body tiredness, the confusion, the conflicts around us that are all coming up are all part of that stew that are saying, this has been boiling too long and it's time to land in your authenticity as best as you have it. You are redefining who you are on a daily basis, on a moment by moment, relational dynamic by relational dynamic opportunity. And so you can't define yourself by who you used to be based on how you responded before, but who you think you're supposed to be. You can only define yourself by who you're being now and how you're choosing to communicate who you are now. And not judge it, but just be aware. Not judge as like, oh, I showed up so great and I did this and I did that, or I could have done that better and I couldn't believe I did that and these other things. Like, oh, it's a moment of awareness, compassion, love, intelligence, leadership. And as you hold that space for yourself, your capacity to hold that field with so much power and luminosity for others allows that expression to flow through for others as well. And it's crazy because if we allow someone else to express in their authenticity, is that going to create a world of chaos? Is it going to be the Wild West, everybody just kind of doing whatever they want to and acting out their really repressed ideas or emotions in a worst case scenario? There's a possibility of that. But look at the people on this call, and look at most of the people in your life. They wouldn't go there. They wouldn't go there. There's a trust where we reach each other in a collective consciousness that we hold this field of how to treat each other and how to be with each other. And again, the more that we hold it in this light and this authenticity, the repression seems to work itself out because it doesn't need the escape mechanism, the deviancy that was there before, because now it's not being repressed, it's not being pushed down, it's not being made wrong, but it's being called up into a different version of itself that can be met with love and understanding, that can be met with support, that being seen through something as opposed to being oppressed into something. Do not judge people for the fear that they have and condemn them for their fear, but rather embrace their fear and hold them and help them walk through it. Let's remember that with our hearts, having discerning values, knowing where we are, knowing what's coming true for us right now, trusting your own timing and different things that are flowing in your life, but also being aware, again, that there's different stimulus that are coming in that are affecting how we are awakening. We can call it a spiritual awakening, but let's bring it down even more simply. Awakening into the effects of how we're treating each other and why we're treating each other in that way. Where we're choosing to be in separation rather than in love. Where we're judging other because we're not getting an emotion or a feeling that we want. So we rather push them away so that we don't have to feel those things that we think are being projected upon us. That we're giving up our sovereignty in a way that if someone's mad at us, that we give them our power by giving them judgment for being mad at us. That they have the authority to project a certain emotion onto us that we have to defend. For most of us in our relational dynamics and for the lives that we're living, for most of us on this call, who cares what someone else thinks about us right now? I mean, really, if you really Okay, so my daughter's pissed off at me today. So what? Why? Did I do something to provoke that? Obviously, I was in a relational dynamic with it. Is there a way that I could have shown up better to communicate what I was really feeling that could have provided an ease of tension? Maybe. And if yes, I can show up. You know, I wish I would have communicated this. I apologize. And this is what I meant. If I really showed up clearly, then she can be angry at me. And I can understand how I communicated it, what it was for me. And if something were to come in the awareness where there's clarity to come in, then that can come in. Or I can also let her have her emotions being in the awareness of where I was and feeling the integrity, that congruency and the calibration of that, but not have to try to fix her being angry. But again, it's not me defining myself according to her and then being pulled into her vortex. How did I show up in the sovereign being in the circumstance of her being in sovereignty? How is that dynamic and how am I taken on anywhere where I think I have to fix her anger for her? I know I needed to leave my ex-wife. I had a conversation with her. She had her reaction. I still stayed in my truth. And I could have, and I probably explained it 50, 100 different times. And maybe in the hopes that she could understand in a different way or not be mad at me or whatever, but maybe she was supposed to be mad at me. Maybe that's what she needed to go through. Maybe she was supposed to be confused. Maybe I could have said everything exactly right, textbook, formulaic in how you were supposed to communicate a certain thing. And she still couldn't have received it because she is meant to go through her experience of whatever this means for her. And so again, where are we giving away our power, our knowing? Where are we diminishing our love? Because we're afraid to be judged or held by someone else in a particular way, or we don't want to be triggered into being called something that we were called when we were children or another relationship dynamic or something that seems so horrible to us that we wouldn't ever want to take on that label. I think we have to redefine what those labels are and take the charge off of them and understand if those labels fit us, then perhaps they fit us. And we should, you know, try on that, those clothes for a little bit so that we can know what they are so that we don't have to repeat them again in a way where we harm ourselves or harm another. And sometimes they're just not us for try on. They don't fit us anymore. Maybe they fit us once, if at all. But maybe we try to put on something, not mine anymore. And you can even burn them, but if you feel like putting them on, go for it, it's yours. It's no longer mine. And so releasing where we're being projected on, owning what's really ours. You're too sensitive. Extremely sensitive. Wow. And yeah, this is creating something for me right now. All right. But where is that sensitivity coming from and why? I feel hurt. Well, okay. That's why I know I feel hurt, or something came up for me. It reminded me of this. It reminded me of how I had to accommodate, or how it brought up an old wound. And again, we come into awareness of the different labels of the energies that are projected on us from another. And again, we calibrate into the mind and the heart again. I would say our mind, and I'm talking from personal experience, but also what I've seen on our cults, what I've seen in other smaller collectives as well, or individual collectives. The mind has been doing a lot of integration, a lot of coming in, a lot of coming into its own sovereignty away from the chaos. Some of the chaos is starting to seep back in a little bit. Again, a lot of collective energies, a lot of planetary influences, a lot of radiation, human resonance type of information coming through as our bodies adjust and try to make sense of the new information. And a lot of reminding us, okay, it's time to come back into the heart. Time to come back into the heart. So, and an update for y'all in awareness of the different fields of potential. And again, awakening to your truth, reminding you to steep into your power, reminding you to awaken to your leadership, your sovereignty in ways that you haven't before. And leading doesn't mean that you have to preach, that you have to enroll other people. It's how you're choosing to be with yourself and how your actions in that essence of being becomes an example for what's possible for others. If you are being asked to communicate it outwardly, your awareness of you're asked to make peace between factions in your life or within someone else in your life. If you're being asked to show up for children or elders in your life, through your embodied experience, again, from that place of love, not control or agenda, from that place of love, then allow that expression to come through you. But keep checking on yourself on where you're really loving or where you have agenda. I just want this to calm down. Now they're not loving each other and I can see it, they're hurting each other. Let me offer something. Let me offer something. I almost want to call it a slippery slope, but it's not. We're learning how to gravitate and hang on to or build off of these new foundations. And it's, again, because of the energy that we're holding and our capacity to impose our will onto others because of the light that we carry can be so strong. That it's good, again, to remember what our agenda is or what we're hoping for in a particular situation as it comes to relational dynamics. And then this also brings me about the power that we have to create our realities right now. And how when we actually really choose something, how quickly things are materializing. And so come back into your heart as you're choosing different scenarios, awarenesses, relational dynamics, and be aware of how you're consciously creating your life. So if there's a lot of fear and thoughts and projections that are coming in into a creation, no, that's going to emanate a field that it could land for a little bit, but then there's going to be a pouring of another foundation on top of that. It's going to take place until something gets rooted in. So your creations can come as a seeming creation, but there's underlying templates that are still waking up in it so that you can get a solid grasp of your intentionality. So you can set solid grasp as to your why, as to how you're showing up for yourself and others in a very congruent, anchored way. I'm asking if there's anything that more that wants to be shared around that right now. And it's a big channeled message that's coming through. Again, it's just what's landing through the energetics. Yeah, these energies aren't going to stop anytime soon. We'll become accustomed to them. We'll learn how to navigate with them, but they're not stopping. The end of May is going to be a big, big energy shift. June, September. But again, we're calibrating. Our bodies are catching up. We're going through waves. And then maybe some burnout in the field also. Like, I'm tired, I'm done, I'm bored, what's next? I can't believe this anymore. What's next? even as we land something that excites us, it can excite us for a week. Okay, what's next? Because there's still something that is kind of calling us, and we don't quite, I don't want to overgeneralize that. Even if you kind of know where you're going, there's that and something else that's evolving. There's that and something else. And it's not quite knowing what that something else is, and just to try to get there. But again, allow your heart to beat that one step at a time. Allow your heart to align with that critical mind and go, all right, this is where I'm going next. This is what I'm doing. This is, oh, I'm aligning with this now. And let those waves take you where they want to take you right now. If you think you can control it, good luck. Let me know how that works out for you. Let me know how happy you are at the end of 3 months of control and what that brought up for you. And more power to you if you make it work, but my metrics, I don't, that just seems like a formula for having to start all over again. See what happens. Let's get in the Q&A with you guys, see what comes up. And I'm on my iPad again, so let me navigate this. So I still don't know how to, I can't say I don't know, I just have to find the buttons. And Eileen, you have your hand up. Let's get you to go first, hi. And anybody else who wants to raise their hand or talk.
Hi.
Hi, Eileen.
You know, I've never written a book before, but I'm doing it now. And I'm really putting all of my energy into it. And I'm finding that, for one thing, it is reflecting the timelessness that we're in. And it really has a trajectory all its own. I mean, I don't even know where it's going. It's just going. But it's, the first part of it talked about the isolation that I felt. And then when the isolation was over, it's not that simple. It's not that simple to walk out the door and see where life is taking everyone. You know, and so it's reflecting what you were talking about with it being timeless. And
yeah.
Where I thought, well, maybe I'm in the next part. So now I'm calling the next part the in-between. And then I thought it was out of that into the retrospective. No, I wasn't. And so I'm writing in an unfamiliar medium. And I have no idea where it's going. And I'm using a pseudonym because I don't want to use my name. And I've written about 25 pages already, and it's fascinating. And I'll tell you, I still feel the isolation because I'm not completely out of it. I don't have people banging my door down, you know, and calling me and saying, hey, let's go to the movies, you know, or something. It's not happening. And so I can't honestly say that, you know, I went from the door closed to the door open. It doesn't work that way.
I agree. And I love this aspect of the isolation. It's like hoping to get out of isolation. But for some of us, isolation may have been such a good escape from feeling so isolated in an open world. For me, it was for a little while. I have beautiful friendships, but I'm really a hermit. And sometimes I feel the loneliness of that hermit lifestyle. And so a time of isolation is where I didn't have to worry that I felt so alone, because it was okay to be alone. No one's calling me to go to movies or to do this or to do that. I mean, I was being invited to places, but then again, I wasn't. Or, you know, it's like the fear of missing out, but not wanting to go. It's like, it's crazy. So the shutdown and the isolation for me, it kind of felt good. And to get out of isolation, now people are starting to maybe get together, doing things. It's like, where do I want to show up? Where don't I want to show up? Am I being invited? Do I really belong? Do I really have community? Is there a group? It's crazy making in so many different ways, because we've defined ourselves so much socially, with who we fit in and how we fit in and the clique type of mentality. And, oh no, this is my community, but this isn't. No, I don't fit in. I'm the black sheep around this. And then how do I communicate my need for wanting to be around others or another, but also my deep need to be within myself? And it's confusing and it's all being redefined. But I think it's also being redefined because we're getting into a deeper integrity, again, with ourselves. And as we allow the truth without judging who we are or how we've been judged for who we are, and really landing in that sovereign place, like, oh, wow, this is me exploring me, and hoping to be met this way somehow. The vulnerability of that, I believe, is bringing community to us in ways that we have never been received before. Because the authenticity of expression and being received for who we are and the value that we bring, whether that's deep conversation or laughter or sadness or counsel or whatever it may be, we'll land without the schism of thinking that we have to be all these other things in different situations for other people so that we can be and relax into our beingness. It's crazy making.
It is. I've really learned how to be internal and to meet my guide in that place. And yesterday was one of those days. Sunday usually is. It's been that way for a lifetime. And I felt very vulnerable, and I started writing. And I'm thinking, why is it that I write my best stuff when I feel like I am totally miserable and sad and isolated? And I heard Michael say, your vulnerability is your strength. You know, it's a familiar expression, but I heard it and it was like, oh, okay, I get it.
Can I offer you a suggestion for writing as you continue to write?
Sure.
And this came in to me in a channel message as I've started writing as well. I was really looking as to why I was writing, and I'm writing about the empathic masculine and what's coming through, and then different opportunities around empathy and being public about it and the media about that have shown up, which has been interesting because it really seems to align. But the guidance was really, for me, write the book like you were writing it to your unborn son. Write this perspective like you're writing to a young daughter or a granddaughter that you would want to pass on this wisdom to, and allow your heart to ignite with that sense of purpose and leadership and guidance that you've already acquired. And you're sharing it now with the love that you have for this precious being in your life, and how you would do anything for that being and not hold anything back.
What I'm finding with the book I'm writing is that, you know, I have the pseudonym Julie, and Julie is me. And it gives me more freedom because I don't have to be me, I can be Julie. And her view of what's going on and what she's feeling. So I like the freedom of that.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it's a freedom of expression that you're diving in, so I can feel that for you. Why are you writing this?
Partly, I mean, I started writing it because I wanted to document how I felt in isolation and what was going on and what was going on out there from my perspective. And I felt, and I still feel like there needs to be a lot of books written now, because the children that are being born, they're going to have no idea what just happened.
And so your why is for the children, but why for the children?
I think that they're going to have a lot of questions. And I feel like I'm able to write about what it felt like for 14 months of being, you know, not even shaking somebody's hand. And whenever I thought about it, I would hug myself when I got up, you know, because I needed to feel something physical, even if it came from me. And I just wanted to write about that.
You want to share your experience and your wisdom with a younger generation?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Keep tapping into your why, Eileen, and share from that leadership place. And while Judy is a synonym which gives you a lot of freedom, tap into the passion of your why, and how you want to share for these children and for this future generation, through your embodied wisdom. And own it. There's strength and leadership in there, that as you tap into not knowing where it came from or the vulnerability of your experience, but really the wisdom that was garnered through the vulnerability and how you can share from that strength and leadership, that's powerful. And that will come through not only for the future generation of what's being shared, but it will also integrate and anchor into the wisdom that you carry within you that perhaps you can't quite see, but that you absolutely own. And that's strong. It's a win-win for you and for anybody else who happens to come across this wisdom that you're sharing. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, amazing. Thanks for sharing, Eileen. All right. Lori, let's go to you now. Hi, Lori.
Unmute. There we go. Hi. Well, you just hit on so many things. Oh my gosh. So my husband wants to move. And when he first brought it up, I was like so hurt and so upset. And I had so many things to work out within me, and I actually attacked him, not physically, but just because I was so pissed. I was like, are you kidding me? I love my home. I love what we have. There's no reason to do anything else. And so through many conversations, I've kind of, like you were saying in the beginning, where you kind of have to reevaluate and make room for the new. And so I've really come to a place where I'm actually starting to get excited about a move now.
Oh, wow.
And things have happened so fast. We have a showing on Thursday. We've already looked at another home that we're thinking about putting an offer on. And I mean, it's just moving so quickly because we've just made this decision and it's being created now. So
Right. Crazy,
absolutely crazy.
Oh, let's not call it crazy anymore. Let's call it, I'm in alignment.
There we go.
Right? No, really. It's like, oh yeah, this is where how alignment creates. Okay. Good to remember that this isn't crazy. This is a yes in mutuality and energetic between you and your husband, but between you and the field, right? Like, oh, that's what happens when we create an alignment. And so wonderful that you paused, that you reflected on how you energetically or emotionally responded to your husband, and how you blocked that in. When you had that reaction with your husband, what was the reaction? Did you like start getting mad at him? Did you start, it's like, express some of that? Yeah.
Yes, I blamed him. I'm like, you're taking away my life and you're not really even consulting with me. I know you want to do this, but, and I was not very nice, honestly.
And I want to ask you there, what does that point to in childhood or even young adulthood where you didn't think that you had a say, that something was being taken from you, that you're always at the expense of instead of a contribution, right?
Yeah.
And that's where, again, there's a calibration happening where it's like, oh, wait, this reminded me. So I had a situation this last week that came up where it reminded me where an energetic came up where, oh, wow, it's like, I'm in response. I'm like, I'm at the mercy of the alcoholic's tendencies. Not that I was in an alcoholic experience, but the energetic was the same. If I have to make sure that this situation is in a particular way so I can act in a particular way. And if it's okay here, then I'm okay here. I grew up in a dynamic like that. It's like, my mood is dictated, or my next move is dictated on the alcoholic's reaction. Is it gonna be angry? Is it gonna be violent? Is it gonna be sad? Is it gonna pass out? Or what is it gonna be? And it reminded me of that dynamic, but I had to pause and go, wow, I'm playing that same thing out here. So the relationship that the energetic hasn't shifted, I've maybe shifted a little bit as I've matured through it and then not so quick to be taken into it, but the dynamic was still there. And I was still playing that role of the codependent and the alcoholic relationship. Like, wow, I'm still doing that somehow. And I've healed it in so many ways, but here I am again. Where am I giving up? What is that I want? Or where it is that I'm not being heard, where it is that my sensitivity doesn't count or my needs count for the sake of making everybody else okay or that particular situation okay. And it was great awareness to have because, oh, wait, I have the opportunity to shift this dynamic. Not to shift the relationship or the personal interaction, but how I react to it. And how I'm in integrity with it rather than trying to, make myself fit into a situation so that energy can be okay. And so for this, it's like noticing, oh wait, this reminds me when I was young and dad put me in this situation or mom put me in such, I never had a say. So they moved this 10 times without asking. I went to 5 different high schools. Or I don't know what the situation was, right? But probably very similar in the dynamics of the way that you grew up. Mm-hmm. Maybe even in a work situation or as a parent, it's like, you're not listening to me. You don't care. I don't count. And so for you, I would bring up, if you're working with the mirror statements at all, if you're not, but I would use this one for you specifically. I deserve to have my needs count.
I like it.
And going through all of it, I deserve to have my needs count. I'd start, it's safe to have my needs count. I deserve to have my needs count. I can have my needs count. My needs count. And I'm so grateful that my needs count. And take that into the mirror for the next week. See what that does for you and see how you relax into and see what else that creates in your environment because you're realizing it and you're, oh, hold on a second. But there's another integration that's taken place also that's going to level up this alignment that's happening with you right now and these opportunities. That's like, oh, there's even more. It's like, okay, we're finding this house. Where do I want a room for my meditations. I want a room for my sewing, for my crafts, or whatever it is. And that your needs count in that also. Or whatever, or I want enough money so I can take vacation. Or I want to pay that much mortgage so I can have extra money for my spiritual, whatever it is. that your needs get taken into consideration. So let's build upon this momentum. Go into those statements, really own them and feel the truth of, hell yes, Lori, your needs count. Your needs count. Oh my God, and as you blossom in that, other people receiving you in your full essence rather than an accommodation energy, it's such a gift for them.
I realized that I slipped into victimhood so quickly, yeah. And that I really had to sit back and think. And I was like, first of all, okay, am I just sacrificing? Am I saying okay to this move because I'm that person who sacrifices and gives in all the time? And then I thought, well, all right, let's look at the other side of it and see what the positives of a move might be. And the more I thought about the positives, the more it was like, okay, this could actually be a really great thing.
Nice.
And, we can lose all of the past behind and start out brand new, and so many good things can happen. So
yeah. I love it.
Yeah, but thank you. The needs, that's a key point right there. Thank you. I will take that one with it.
Well, wrong with that, but I want to give you the other side of that.
Oh.
Because there is another side.
Okay.
Once you're so aware that your needs count and you own it, it becomes a moot point. Who cares if they count or not? Because you know they do. It's not even the thing that you have to hold anymore. It's like, they're not taking my needs into account, but so what? Because I know I do. They do. Right?
Right.
And that's when the liberation really comes in. Owning their needs count. It's like, yeah, and building that up. It's like, okay. But then being so masterful in the awareness, we're just like, so why did they don't think my needs count? Of course they do. It's not even a thing. It's like, oh, he's in that place and he's creating that. It's like, I wonder how I'm going to create this for myself and how I want to create my life and creating it together in harmony with my partner who I'm with. And this will be interesting how this unfolds. And so you get into that aspect of your needs counting, because now it's just like, of course, my needs count as easily as I'm taking my next breath of oxygen in. It becomes that simple. And again, the freedom that arises for that. That's where I want all of us to get in those statements that we work with and those limiting beliefs. Of course we deserve to be loved for all that we are. Of course I'm a priority. Of course. So, right?
Right. Oh, it'll be awesome to hit that point.
It's so wonderful. And then in the point of feeling, oh, I was in victimization. Sometimes we go, damn, I was in victimization. And we kind of hold a little judgment for that or make ourselves wrong. And then check in and see if you can play. It's like, oh, damn, I was in victimization. Okay, you got me. All right. Where are we going to change this around? And even when we get into that awareness, it's a completely different projection of how an energy is showing up, our interpretation of it, that we get to mold it, not out of defense, not out of warring, creating a war with it. It's like, oh, I see you. Okay. How can we create a different dynamic that doesn't go to that place, but goes to what else is possible? Because when you're war with it, someone's going to lose. And it's with you within yourself. Part of you is going to win and part of you is going to lose. We want to create win-win scenarios. Always win. Congratulations on your move. How exciting.
Thank you. Hopefully. Thank you.
Yeah. Send pictures of your new place that you found or whatever, and any energy or prayers or that we can support you with, put it in the Facebook group. Hey, we're closing on the house and there's prayers, or we're excited about this. Share your excitement. Share opportunities that are coming up in the Facebook group in the community. Allow all of us to support you in that creation, at least with our love, or at the most with our love, and then adding to the grounding in of whatever's coming in for you specifically.
Thank you.
Great job, Lori.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, Gerina, hello.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Good to see you.
Good to see you. So my issue right now is the vaccine issue is closing in on me, I feel like I'm getting pressured all over my family, some of my most of my friends. And yeah, just wanted to get your take on the vaccine issue.
Who's pressuring you? Your family and friends?
All my family got it. My friends are getting it. They're starting to say you should get it. Yeah.
So are they pressuring you or are you pressuring you?
They're putting pressure and...
How are they putting pressure?
They were saying, you better hurry up and get it. And they say, stop being so anti-vax and conspiracy theory. But the thing is that vaccine is not really tested. We don't know what's going to happen 10 years from now.
Wait, did you say the truth is?
No.
Oh, I thought you said the truth is that vaccine hasn't been tested. You didn't say that?
Oh, I think I did. Yeah. It's not FDA approved yet.
Right. I'm stopping the video for a second because I have to plug in my thing doesn't charge as long as I like. So I'm here. I'm just getting through a plug so that I can be present without worrying about battery. As I check that real quick. But again, you're saying truths and you're saying you're being pressured. So let's get into true truths rather than manipulated truths or judgmental truths. Give me a true statement.
What do you mean? Like about the vaccine or?
About what's coming up.
I don't know. Like what's coming up is that I feel everyone's getting it, but yet there's a pause. My concern is that women who are around my age, those are the ones who get the blood clots. There's been some deaths. There was even just a death last week in my city from one woman who got her first vaccine, the AstraZeneca. And now they paused it all. They put a stop on that one. Now they're saying, everyone that's gotten that first vax, now you can go get another one from another vaccine. Now they're trying to mix the two vaccines from different companies. I just feel like they're just throwing things at us. If they, you know what I mean? Like,
okay, so
it's not that safe. People are dropping dead and, you know, this and that.
Hold on a second. Let's get into true statements.
Statement, a woman 52 died last week in Edmonton because of a blood clot right after getting the AstraZeneca.
Well, I'll ask
another man had his intestine removed because of the AstraZeneca shot.
Okay, so let's get into true statements for you. So let me state some and tell me if it's true or not. I feel like I'm being pressured by my family.
Yes.
I'm aware that the FDA has not approved these vaccines.
Right, but how do we know what the other vaccines are down the road?
Well, hold on a second. Let's just get into true statements. Because if you start getting into a lot of hypotheticals, then your mind's in all these hypotheticals and it creates all this confusion in your body. So let's land on true statements first. Okay. And breathe into them for a second. I am uncomfortable getting a shot now.
Yes, I'm uncomfortable getting a shot now, but I feel like I have to for work when they reopen. Like, I feel like I have no choice unless I win the lottery. Then I can stay home and not have to.
See, hold on a second. Let's get into true statements. Slow down with me. Just a second. Have they opened up for work yet?
No, because we're in lockdown right now.
Okay. Okay, so no, they haven't. That's another true statement.
Right.
So you needing to get a vaccine right now to go to work is not necessary.
No, but our vaccines are spaced out 3 months apart. So a lot of people my age already got it 3 months ago, and now they're getting their second one, and I'm lagging because now they've opened it up to everyone over like 18 can get it.
So because they're 3 months apart, if you got the vaccines, you'd have to wait another 3 months before you can really go to work.
Yeah.
Is the vaccine necessary for you to go back to work?
Well, it's hot yoga. So
that's not what I asked. Is the vaccine necessary for you to go back to work?
I haven't gone to work since over a year because I'm not going in without a mask. I'm not vaccinated. So I'm not going to teach hot yoga with a mask on. They wouldn't let me anyway.
Well, I'm asking, is the vaccine necessary for you to go back to work?
Well, I think that everyone else that's getting the vaccine is going to go back to work.
But that's not what I
don't have. I wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't safe. I wouldn't feel safe going in that hot room.
No, we're going on facts. We're going on facts. Is the vaccine necessary for you to go back to work?
Okay, the fact is that when they were open last month before we got shut down again, I chose not to go to work because I'm not 18 or 20 like all the other ones are. I was caretaking my dad who couldn't, you know, didn't have the vaccine yet. So they gave me an up. They said, okay, you can teach online, but otherwise, when they open up, they're going to expect me to go back in without my mask on. So I don't know how long I'm going to put it off.
But Irina, see how you're going into these different tangents all at the same time? And I want you to come back and listen to this part of it, because I'm asking a very specific question and okay, you start going into these other scenarios and other cases.
Okay, so specifically, no.
Okay,
no, let's just stop there. I cannot teach about being vaccinated
okay.
in a hot room because I wouldn't feel safe.
Okay, but that's a different fact. I don't feel safe being in a hot room teaching hot yoga unless I'm vaccinated. That would be a yes.
If I had a mask on, I would feel okay, but they won't let me wear a mask.
But again, you're going into the two different scenarios because you started with a question about the vaccine and now you're going into the mask and I'm asking you about vaccines.
Okay.
So the reason I'm taking you on this exercise is I want to ground you into a step-by-step process and also notice where your mind starts going in different directions that starts creating this confusion for you and these different scenarios. And so what I wanted to do is get really masculine with the energy and yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. So that you can land more on your truth because you're being taken on a lot of different tangents because of how empathic you are. And so I want to give you a tool to really work with your empathy so that it lands in your body with more truth rather than being carried in all these other people's energetic fields, which creates havoc in your mind and in your body and how to make decisions.
Yeah, and that's so, where I am right now.
Yeah. So come back and ask some of these questions and get into your just yes or no's. So let me get back into, I'm being pressured to get the vaccine. How would I I feel like I'm being pressured to get the vaccine. I think that's a yes for you.
Yes.
When you say you're being pressured, can you tell me in 10 words or less how you're being pressured? And I'm going to count the words and I'll stop you at 10.
Do you want me to read you what my friends are writing? Stop the nonsense of anti-vax and get your vaccination already.
Is that a pressure or is that a judgment?
Well, I feel like, and they're asking me, have you been vaxxed yet? Are you still not vaxxed? And then now my family's all, oh, you shouldn't go out because you're the only one who's not vaccinated. You shouldn't go see your brother because he had another scare with the vaccine or with the, he was exposed again to the virus. So anyway.
Okay, so could you agree that seeing your brother might provoke a risk for him if you were to get infected?
But I'm not scared. I can clear it on myself. Like, I'm not scared of this virus. The thing is, now I'm starting to, like, what's still pissing me off is, you know, people not believing that I'm not scared of the virus. I can clear it on myself and on other people. And then I feel like they look at me like I'm delusional.
Okay. And I asked you a very grounded and particular question.
Okay.
So notice how you're going in these different tangents, all based on people's opinions, projections, what you should, what you shouldn't do. And go into some of these questions and again, come back and listen and notice where you're maybe getting into defense Notice where you're getting into confusion. Notice when you're losing your truth into getting into something else, and just start going into yes and no's in your truth. And there's no right or wrong in this. There's no right or wrong, just an awareness of what's happening and what, and how it plays out for you. And then you can decide appropriately what is true for you.
Well,
I have an opinion about the vaccine.
Okay, what is it? I'm asking you.
My opinion is when it's right for you, you'll know.
Are you getting the vaccine?
I don't know yet. It's not right for me just yet.
Okay.
I'm not an absolute no, and I'm not an absolute yes at this time, because it's an I don't know, it's a no. But it doesn't,
mean that we're anti-vax because we don't want it for ourselves. I just want more testing, especially my age group.
I'm with you. I'm not traveling a lot. I'm not around a lot of other people. I want to see it tested more. I want to see what the effects are with other people. And that works for me. My daughter's got the vaccine. They talked about it after. No, I'm really in alignment with what I'm saying. I know that if it's right for a person, then they'll say yes to it. And as more research comes out or evidence comes forward in one direction or another, the more time that I wait now, it seems to be in alignment for me to wait to see what comes through. Can I get COVID in the meantime? I have a feeling I already had it a long time ago after I got back from LA, when it first started creeping into the States. I'm assuming I didn't, just for the sake of simplicity and not projecting something that I know as a fact. So I'm proceeding with caution that way. Am I presenting a risk for myself and for other people by not getting the vaccine? Potentially, yes. Am I presenting a risk for myself and for other people if I do get the vaccine? Potentially, yes. We don't know yet. And so it all depends. And again, you have to follow your integrity and your truth. And then we can act responsibly with the information that we have. So if I know my mom just passed away, but using my mom as an example, if my mom had pneumonia, was not feeling well and was susceptible to something, would I go see her not being vaccinating? Because I'm aware of the own ignorance of the information within myself and of the medical community, then I'd probably stay away, because we're still in the learning process, just to play the odds in a way that, regardless of what I thought I can clear from my field or not, I would play the odds in the sake of being cautious, because of what I'm carrying within myself, but also not limit my life in a way that I'm aware that I can go into certain circumstances and it feels like it's fluid and it feels like I'm being responsible for myself and for others simultaneously. So it's, again, having an awareness of the implications of how we show up in our lives and based on the decisions that we make and how we're responsible for that. So an example, and this is an extreme example, I'm a single man. No, I'm not a single man anymore. I'm in a relationship. I was a single man exploring relationships and sexually active. If I knew I had the potential for contracting an STD because I was around so many people and being intimate in that way and all that, would I be responsible for the next person that I slept with? Or would I just do Russian roulette? And for me, as a conscious man and someone who wants to be responsible, I would get tested. I would do these other things. I would want to show up in a safe and intimate way, and in a very transparent way, so that there's an agreement field that not only honors me, but honors the other person as well. And so we can be in agreement fields with other people. Hey, I'm going to show up and visit you, Mom. I haven't gotten to, I feel good about it. I haven't been around other people. I haven't gotten to Shabbatata before I saw you, and it feels safe. And she can say, no, I don't want to see you. or no, yes, of course, it does feel safe and can come see me. And so it's bringing in the critical information and then knowing how to be in relationship with that critical information to help make the best possible decision that we can in the moment for ourselves and what's aligned for us, regardless of the pressure that we're getting outside of us, knowing that when it's right for us, it'll show up. And maybe it's right for you after you got sick and are down for 15 days with pneumonia, you know, with flu-like symptoms, or maybe it's just you never got sick and you want to travel or it's time to do these other things. And there's enough tests that have been conducted and studies say, okay, you know, from a percentage factor, the risk of me getting a clot because that woman had all these pre-existing conditions that aren't really being talked about or have been talked about but are being skipped over, or maybe not. And so again, we're educating ourselves in ways that we haven't before, and be aware for you where this herd mentality that's leading and that's pressuring you. Be aware where there's something within you that's perhaps creating resistance because of a fear, and be aware where there's an intelligence within you that's arising, that's an intelligence specifically for you, and honor that within yourself and then navigate that. But getting clear, not on these other random entangled thoughts that seem to be similar to the same thing, but they're not, because they're taking you in the directions that are outside of you for the sake of another, or for the sake of defending something, or for the sake of getting an answer that you just quite don't have. No, it's just not right for me now, period. And so rather than going into defense and trying to argue with someone, it's just not right for me right now. You don't have to defend. It's a slippery slope for them to try to hang on. If we try to convince that we're right or interpret this or give an example of why it's not right, they're not going to hear it. You're talking Chinese all day long because they have a particular stance that they have. So what? Let them have their stance. If there's something compelling that they share with you that changes your mind, allow that information to be a source of inspiration to guide you into your own knowing. But these other ones that cause resistance and all these other things, just recognize them as noise chatter, but also recognize your defensiveness sometimes if it comes up. If you start going, why am I defending myself? Why do I have to prove myself to them? What am I trying to get that I'm not getting other than understanding? They're not receiving me. They don't get that I can heal this. They don't understand this. Have to get it, but we think that they do. If they would just understand this, then we would somehow be liberated from this lifetime journey of not being understood. And that's the root of it for most of us in these circumstances, especially as empathic. But come back and ground into those places where, again, land in the truth, not into yeah, but. It's like, and you never land on anything because it's always the but, and it's exhausting for your body. And just by grounding into you, you'll give yourself so much peace. So much peace. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, y'all. I think I'm ending the call there today. Go into the statements. If anything's come up in the limitations, again, my needs don't count. I'm not a priority. It's not safe to be who I am. Go into the statements that really tap into that. And get into this wave of calibration that's coming up for all of us to really get into alignment with our truth. And so align with your truth by finding some of those statements. Again, you guys know already where to find those statements in the homework assignments that we've sent out previously. If you can't find them, send us an email message and we'll direct you to them. And allow that wisdom to arise and integrate and anchor into your, again, you're adjusting to your own truth. You're owning it. You're leading in it. And once you have it, nobody can take it away from you. Ever. All right. I love you guys. Thank you so much. And I'll see y'all next week.
Love and bless.